Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Womansplain. Today, we have a very, very special guest, Kiki Couchman. She is the CEO and founder of Benny Yogurt, which she's going to tell us about, and also started her career in private equity as well. So I'm going to pass it over to her to kind of introduce herself and have a little conversation.
Awesome. Thank you. Quick correction. I am the co-founder of Benny Yogurt. That's a very important part of this story. Yes, I am starting Benny Yogurt. We have officially launched, but we also have the strategy of like always be launching. And so we'll talk about that later. But that's a big part of how we think about Benny Yogurt and our sort of media presence, brand, all of those sorts of things. Like you mentioned, I've started my career in private equity. I graduated in 2020 from Stanford and I studied human biology. So never, ever thought I would go into private equity at all. I come from an ag background. Like my parents, my dad grew up on a dairy farm.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they sort of moved into growing grapes and selling to wineries. And so I grew up in California, in Sonoma, in the wine country.
Wow.
And went to Stanford really with the goal of sort of bridging the gap between agriculture and food, and really seeing sort of the health side of things and going deep into human nutrition. And then went into private equity. The pandemic hit and it was sort of the time to think about, what do I want to do with my career? We're going to be in lockdown. Let's use this time to actually build some good skills. And so recruited and did that whole rat race, started in San Francisco, and then moved to New York 2 years ago. And I've learned a ton in private equity. And I woke up earlier this year and really thought about, is this where I want to be spending the rest of my life? And is this really where I want to apply all these skills that I've now learned? Because it feels a little bit like now I'm on that train. And so when I took a step back and really thought about it, I wanted to go back to those roots of what I feel so passionately about and actually apply what I've learned and bring this something like Benny Yogurt to scale. So that way a lot more people can benefit from it.
This is fascinating. And I think such a good story of going back to your passions, of course, like doing the whole corporate, gaining those really good technical skills, but then applying it back. How did you find the process of leaving such a stable industry, of course, very lucrative as well? And like, what was the mindset of, oh, okay, I'm okay with being, you know, an entrepreneur and a founder, and like maybe it might succeed or it fail, but what was your mind going through when you were making that decision?
Yeah, so many things. I think what you just said was really resonant. Like, I have lived my whole life really on an achievement track and trying to be, you know, the best and get all the accolades and do what is the most successful thing in any given situation. And having to be extremely comfortable with, this could fail. Like, I really think this is going to succeed and we are going to make this succeed. But also there's the very real reality that it could fail. And so being extremely comfortable and feeling okay that the journey of it, I know it sounds so cliche, but the journey of it is really the success, and that this is an opportunity to learn and build new type of skill, and that we can come out on the other side in a better place, regardless if Benny Yogurt is a huge, huge success and we can be global and we are in every single Whole Foods, Safeway, Sprouts, you name it, or it's not and we can pivot and we've learned really incredible things about building a business.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I totally understand that. And, you know, like, I come from, both Sol and I are investors by trade. You know, we went to Penn as well. I totally understand that. And I think obviously you learn a lot on the other side, right? And now I'm now on the operating side as a chief of staff. So I'm kind of like, I've seen both sides too. What do you think are like the best skills you learned from being an investor that you've brought to being an entrepreneur that you think have really helped you?
Totally. Also, I am not an investor. I work on the operations side as well. So okay. I work with our portfolio companies post-close value creation. So I get to see a lot of different companies in our portfolio and help and work with those leaders to make sure that they're growing and we're receiving the return on our investment that we want to achieve. So many skills. I honestly think the biggest one is actually the soft skills of stakeholder alignment. And I see that come up. One, it's like coming up in an industry where you are a woman, you are super young. I am working with executives who are, you know, I don't know, decades older than me and have so much more operating experience. And I am here telling them and advising them on how they should be running their company in different ways. And that has taken a ton of muscle building in terms of getting buy-in, creating alignment, really helping them understand the value that I can bring into that space. And I think that has been the most translatable skill right now, even just in this early journey of Benny Yogurt, of building the brand, creating seeing followers and seeing potential customers as stakeholders in this business and actually understanding they care as much about building this business as I do, and they want to get a peek under the hood about what it actually looks like. And even if we come to a decision about our brand colors or about, I don't know, the type of plastic or ceramic or glass or whatever material we use on our own and without their input or without their, if it's not the decision that they want, they still feel bought in and aligned, and so they will support us in whatever that decision is ultimately. And I think that's actually been shockingly one of the most translatable skills in this process.
That's awesome. Wow. And just like on that, I know I found Kiki on TikTok because she, I'm sure you guys have also seen, I'm quitting my job in private equity to start a yogurt company with my best friend.
I got it. You can recite it.
So I think you're doing really well with like growing your like customer base and actually involving them in the process. I know it's very early in the company, so I think that's an awesome tactic that you're using. But I'd love to hear more about the best friend part. I know you're a co-founder. Yeah. So how did Benny, you know, originate? How did it come to be?
Yeah. The best friend part is a huge part of this. I was actually just on the phone with my co-founder, Alon, and we were having this conversation. We just could not do this if it wasn't for each other. I mean, it's already so fun, and I'm sure you both feel like this, but it's really fun to show up and to get to work and problem solve and thought partner with your best friend. But in addition to that, you get to see edges and new skills of your friend that you would never see or you would never be aware of in any other situation that really you only get with coworkers who, you know, often aren't best friends. And so that's been really, really fantastic to just have each other and to work through this, particularly being in a new industry where neither of us have had actual experience in consumer or in the food space professionally. And so the way that we actually came to this was Alon is our like total yogurt product guru. And she was the person who really brought this idea to the table. We lived together in San Francisco back when we graduated in 2020. We met at Stanford in actually a food systems class and then became really close friends from then on. And she was in this crazy rabbit hole of gut health and the microbiome. And at first I thought she was crazy. This was 4 years ago when I think gut health was first starting to really come onto the scene. Mm-hmm. And she bought a yogurt maker in our San Francisco apartment and she started making yogurt for herself and culturing the right probiotics that she had done a ton of research on for her own gut. She was having hormone issues. She was feeling bloating and sort of a decreased energy level. And so she thought to take it in her own hands and actually make her own yogurt. And she continued doing that for the past 4 years. And when we were both having feelings of how do we want to apply these new, you know, these skills that we've learned and what do we really want to scale and bring to the world, it was sort of a light bulb for both of us of, oh my gosh, we've never thought about it, but let's do yogurt. Why can't we bring this incredible product that you've made for yourself? You've watched yourself heal. You have better skin, more energy. Your hormone levels are back to normal. And why can't we bring this to a world stage and actually scale this so every person can have a yogurt that can also be their daily probiotic supplement.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, and this, I mean, it is actually crazy to know the amount of people that struggle with gut problems. I mean, like personally, like I, like my entire family has like some form of like IBS, gut issues, ulcers, like everything. Totally. My mom has struggled with this and she was like 27 and is really struggling with it now in her health. And it's just gotten so much worse over time. And it is kind of a crazy thing, like the amount of adults that struggle with like gut health. Mm-hmm. So obviously Benny is specifically a probiotic, specifically sort of to heal your gut, et cetera. But what do you think really makes your yogurt different than others? You know, why do you think it's so special?
Yeah, there is the gut health element. And I will say a few more things on that. Most yogurts today in the market, they all have probiotics, right? They all have bacteria. That's how you turn milk into yogurt, is you have to culture it. But those probiotics are really good for making delicious tasting yogurt. They're not actually the most targeted for our human health. And so we are actually taking a few probiotics that are much more targeted to help your better skin or, you know, your mental health or whatever it might be. And so that way, the probiotics you'd find in a supplement are actually in your yogurt. Okay. So that's number one. The other is that most yogurts also are pasteurized. A lot of ultra-processed yogurts are pasteurized both before, which is what most yogurts are. The milk is pasteurized to kill the bad bacteria, but also after.
Okay.
It's turned into yogurt, which actually means the bacteria count is now far, far lower.
Okay.
And far less impactful on your gut. Okay. Than ours will be.
Do they pasteurize it again, basically, what, to manage, like, it's, like, to preserve it longer? It's effectively a form of preservation.
Exactly. Okay. So it's, like, you know, the Yoplait or those types of yogurts, right? And so that's number one is, like, we definitely are differentiated in gut health and our positioning around that.
Okay.
A lot of yogurts right now are also focused on protein, which we will be as well. And that's also inherent to Greek-style yogurt. And so we are trying to add here another element.
Okay.
The other is that we are extremely community driven, as you can already tell with what we're trying to push with our socials launch, with my TikTok, with my Instagram, is that's a really big and important part of this is we want to be a platform for our customers to speak directly to us. We want to be able to give back to them either through pop-up events, being able to get their input, get their advice. What are they seeing that they want us to reflect? And then also, you know, be able to really carry that brand into retail. And so even though we're not actually building an e-commerce channel where you can purchase directly through our website, we will be in retail and we want to make sure that we still have that direct touch with our customer. And right now we feel like that's lacking in the refrigerated aisle. There are big, big opaque brands and there's also small farms, and we want to be the brand that you actually know and trust and you know the face behind, and you are supporting that brand, not just because you love the product, but because you love what the mission is and who those people are.
Yeah, love that.
I love that it just started in your kitchen. That's awesome. What's the manufacturing process
like? Yeah. So currently we're actually interviewing co-manufacturers. So we haven't scaled to a factory level yet. We're working out of a commercial kitchen. But the manufacturing process, what it actually means to take yogurt is you buy a bunch of milk. We also have to buy cultures too. And so that's another process here is our suppliers are both the bacteria suppliers and then also the milk suppliers, like farms. And you culture the bacteria in the yogurt for, you know, a certain amount of time and a certain temperature. You strain out a bunch of the whey, and then you package it. And so it's super, super easy. I mean, it's a simple process and it's a less processed food as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And because you do not pasteurize your yogurt twice, does that make it more difficult for you to like manufacture or manage or anything like that? Because it's like less, like not as long.
So there is an expiration date on it, of course. But that's also something that, you know, we are always going to keep in mind. We're here to be a higher probiotic count yogurt.
Okay.
And we are always going to have that as our North Star, and our mission is to be your daily probiotic supplement. And so if that means, you know, other things are going to be, we can't be on the shelf as long, that's something that we're willing to sacrifice because we want to stick to our mission.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So in an ideal world, if you are a Benny customer, do you eat Benny every day? Because it's your probiotic
of course
supplement. Okay. Yeah. So that's
instead
like the
of
goal.
Your supplement.
So yes. So in the morning when you eat your yogurt, we want you to, instead of choosing, you know, your other yogurt on the shelf, you choose Benny yogurt, and then you don't need to take your probiotic supplement. You already get your high count of protein, your other good nutrients, and the supplement. And it's best eaten at the beginning of the day before you have anything else in your stomach. But also, people love eating yogurt throughout the day. So have it for dessert, have it after lunch, whenever you want.
Awesome. Great. Love that. And where, I mean, in the ideal world, where do you see Benny going in general? Do you see it as a general wellness brand? Do you see it expanding more product? Do you think you're going to expand? Like, there are so many gut things on the market,
so
right? Array, Dubloat, whatever.
Totally.
A million things that, you know, I feel like help with constipation, help with this, help with that. Mm-hmm. Where would you expand into that area too?
Yeah.
Like, what do you see as that?
Yeah. We, in addition to being sort of daily probiotic supplement, we also really, really hold strongly food as medicine. And I think that's something that we feel is really important and we want to stick to. And so what that means is, like, yes, there's a ton of great supplements, and that is not the direction that we're headed. We definitely want to continue in the food direction. And so we'd love to continue expanding into dairy beyond just yogurts. And so, you know, there's lots of other areas that we can go there. And then additionally, we would love to have a lab where we can continue, like, this is 10-year vision, 15-year vision, where we can also contribute to gut health research. And how do we continue to strengthen this link between the research and what's actually in your food and what you're eating? And so you know what will happen when you eat this yogurt. I think right now a lot of the problem is people take supplements and they actually don't know if they feel a difference or what's actually happening. They've just been told it's good for them in XYZ area. And so we want to make sure that that education component is, and that science component is, like, very linked with our product.
I think that's really important. Like Noma, for example, like started out as a fermentation lab. And of course, it's like the best restaurant in the world. And so I think the reason that it's doing so well is because they're actually listening to research and the science behind it. So for customers too, like I would rather, you know, consume something that I know has been backed by research and, you know, that you've been spending years perfecting versus a Yoplait or something that I find, you know, in Costco or something.
Totally. And that's delicious. And their value prop is not the same as ours, right? And so, like, I grew up eating the key lime pie Yoplait. Love it. Yeah, I absolutely love it. It's such a treat and dessert. And it's a really different type of yogurt than what we're trying to make here.
Yeah. So I know that you have been kind of working the last couple of months your real job. And I think you're going to quit earlier or next year, right? In 2025.
Yeah.
So what are you doing on a day-to-day basis now? I'm sure more on Benny versus PE. But what's been your like day-to-day like now?
Yeah, chaos.
And how will it change?
Yeah, I see you just like running around town.
It's running around and it's like balancing and pretending I'm online and then not. And yeah, it's been chaos. I'm super, super excited for the focus that will come in January. I think that's a really big thing that a lot of people just say, why don't you just continue doing both? I mean, I think you guys can speak to it's pretty impossible. It's impossible. So that's number one. I think the other thing is Benny will not have a shot at being successful if we don't actually channel our focus into doing this full time and putting both our feet in. And so we know that that is an important weapon, almost focus, in order to make this successful. But my day-to-day right now is spent, Alon is the one who is making our yogurt in the commercial kitchen space, and she'll wake up at 6 a.m., get the yogurt prepped. We actually work in the same office building. We work in two different companies, but work in the same building. So we'll usually do an 8 a.m. handoff of yogurt. From there, that goes into my corporate office fridge. I spend most of the day working still in private equity. I'd say 25% of my time right now is spent on Benny. And so it's a lot of networking. It's a lot of getting smart on the space, which has been a huge part of this sort of runway in between time, is to allow ourselves to get really close to customers, do a lot of customer interviews, and then also get really close to other CPG founders and make sure that we know exactly what we don't know before we go straight into January.
And then how are you selling now? In what channel?
Yeah, we are doing drop sales right now. And that is just from my Instagram. We started that. Our first drop sale was maybe about a month ago. And we wanted to really just, this is not actually for revenue. I mean, it is, we are charging for this, but it's really to get more proof points and to hear feedback from our customers directly. And so we think our yogurt is great. So far, other people think our yogurt is great, but let's make sure that they actually do, and let's continue iterating. And so that has been a huge piece of that, is every time we do a drop sale, we also ask for customer feedback. We're gonna continue keeping this. It's a very important thing. Even when we go into retail, we would love to continue keeping sort of a drop sale or even subscription direct to consumer in New York model, where we can stay really close with our customers as we iterate on packaging, what's important to them, what do we think about, you know, this flavor yogurt versus this flavor yogurt, price point, messaging, all of those things. And so drop sales have been really, really critical for us to this to date.
Awesome. And it's been just like word of mouth, friends and family.
Exactly. Word of mouth. And actually, we've been prioritizing strangers because I think that's an important part of building our customer base. We have lots of friends and family that would love to support us, and we will continue leaning on them. And we are endlessly grateful and thankful for that. And a huge part of this success will be, you know, people who actually don't feel indebted to us, what they think about our yogurt, right? Yeah,
that's when you know.
That's when you know. Will they come back and buy us again? That's a good,
Yeah. It's awesome. I want to know the origin of the name.
Oh,
Benny.
Yes. great question. The name has had 500 different iterations. This is actually one of our huge learnings with setting a launch date for us. You know, again, as I mentioned, we're always launching. There's going to be another launch date when we're first in retail, and another launch date when we're in their next store and our next store. But our first mini launch date was when we revealed our brand, and we had a taste test for all of our friends and family. We had an event of about 60 people. And that was a really good forcing function for us to actually land on a name. We had about four different names before. But Benny, the reason for Benny, spelled B-E-N-Y, is because Alon was reading a yogurt textbook, and she ran into a fact that Lebeny, L-E-B-E-N-Y, that actually meant yogurt in ancient Assyrian, and also was used for life, the word life. And probiotic means for life, probio. And so we love the origin of that sort of connection between yogurt and life and probiotics. So we chopped off the L-E and we're calling it Benny, B-E-N-Y.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And who does the branding? Do you like the font, the
no.
logo?
I now have Canva Pro and I've been iterating on everything. We love Canva. And so many of the other applications of our branding has been me. But we actually, Charlotte Cooper, we've been working with her for all of our branding. And so she helped us get our initial logo and our colors and some sort of V1 packaging. And we're going to be working with her in the new year to continue fleshing out our packaging and what that looks like.
It looks so Gen Z.
Ah, thanks.
So aesthetic.
Yes, very aesthetic. We definitely wanted it to have sort of an aesthetic, attractive and fun vibe while also still communicating, this is yogurt, this is clean, this is going to be something healthy. And that was a challenge for us, is how do we make this sort of creative but also clean aesthetic come together? Mm-hmm. When a lot of things you'll see is crazy color or like maximalist type things now in a lot of branding. And so we were trying to pare that down while still conveying that funness.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think you did. I mean, I also like that it feels very Mediterranean. I think like with the dark blue.
I love that.
That's a lot for me. Like,
you're right.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, I feel like they're trying. I mean, I thought you were trying to make it like, oh, it's Greek yogurt. Feels like it's in the Greek Isles. Yeah. That's what I felt. Like.
Yes.
It was like, that was my like brand association. I was like, it feels very like Greek-esque, like we're from, I don't know, it feels very simple, which I love. Are you, and I know obviously you're trying to build your social media presence, etc. Would you love to do like influencer partnerships? Like, what do you think is your marketing strategy? Like, where do you kind of see that going? I know you want it to be in a retail chain, but where would you sort of like to do that from like more of a brand building perspective?
Yes. We would love not to spend on influencer marketing, actually. definitely on gifting. I think that's a huge thing that we think about. We have a challenge in front of us, which is we are a refrigerated item. And so shipping a refrigerated item, you have to work in that your product might get ruined. And so that is a big thing, is when you're a small company, having frustrated customers or having frustrated people that you're gifting to is a really tricky and dangerous position to be in. And so that's something that we're weighing. And I just wanted to say, because I think a lot of people expect us to ship our product. And so that is a huge reason why we're building, why I am trying to build and grow my social media presence, is I see it as a real lever of, we actually don't need to rely on other partnerships. I think we have plenty that we would love to develop down the line, but actually starting and increasing my platform and the surface area for us to touch a lot of different people who are in the industry, but also potential customers, is sort of our, you know, potential weapon in the future. Not claiming that I'm good at it, but I'm trying to. And I think there's lots of different types of content that I would love to begin to build into beyond just, you know, this is the founder journey, but also, can we increase education on the gut health space? Are there ways, you know, for us to actually, for more people to care about their gut, and how can we push them to do that? In addition to what is sort of the 0-1 founder journey? Because I think that's not told as much. Mm-hmm. The how I built this are like, you know, 5 to 100, and that's, far less helpful for people who are looking to start a business.
Totally. I also think like consumer founders are now, I think, suddenly kind of being put in the same light, I think, as other founders as well. I think that's something we've discussed in our kind of our previous episodes, because we interview so many female entrepreneurs. There's a lot of female entrepreneurs in the consumer space. Honestly, it's like where a lot of them live. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, and they, I think because it is so female dominated, I think it's had a lot less spotlight on it as well. And it's actually a lot more difficult to build a consumer business. The business model is really, really hard. The margins are thinner. Mm-hmm. It's not really a super like VC, like normal investment. There are very few that'll do it. Like, maybe you can raise money, but it's a lot more difficult. It's a lot more competitive as well. So I think I love that you're being so open about it. And I think it also makes it feel a lot more attainable. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's great.
Totally. I mean, I agree with everything you said. When we first were deciding on going down this route with yogurt, I mean, Alana and I were both like, this is crazy. This is so crazy. It's going to be a really hard business to build.
Yeah.
And it feels like a really fun and creative challenge. And it's been done before. And so I think that's another thing, is yes, like my hope is that this can be a way for people to see, okay, what is actually the process of building something. But it's also been a way for me to connect with people who have done this before and get to really learn from others on what's been successful and what hasn't, and how can we learn from people's mistakes so that way we can catapult to the next level too.
Yeah, it's very inspiring for people that are maybe in corporate jobs that want to start their something. I know we've talked about it. How has it been working with your best friend? Mm-hmm. What are, you know, the, obviously many, many highs, but what are some of the challenging aspects of it too?
Yeah, I think Alana is one of the few people, the few best friends that I would do this with. You know how people say, like, there's a few friends that you would want to be roommates with and some that you wouldn't.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Or travel with or whatever.
All of the above. Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah. And I think that we both have a communication style that really works for us. And so we actually haven't run into huge challenges. I think our most anticipated challenge was, do we have too similar of a skill set? And when we came in, that was something that we had thought about, is how do we actually, you know, how do we siphon the different responsibilities? And even the social media thing, the question was, who's actually going to be the face of the social media? It really could have been Alon. And I think there was sort of, we didn't know what was going to happen. And so we both just fired some test bullets and saw what went better. And so far it has been me. We're going to make her do this down the line, but but this is where we are. And so it's been a fantastic learning experience on how to communicate better with somebody, just the constant giving each other feedback on small things and, you know, having to set different boundaries and all of that has been actually very easy in the best way, but also something that's there. And I think we're both learning as we go with that.
Yeah absolutely. I mean, I think, I know like a few co-founders that have been great friends and have done really well together, but it's also, I mean, being co-founder is also very stressful. So I think there's lots of ups and downs. Like, you're basically in a long-term relationship at that point. Like, you're effectively married. I mean, I think like having like a co-founder is effectively marrying someone. Yeah. Honestly, it's like, you have to see them every day. You have to deal with them every day. You have to be brutally honest.
Yes.
You have good days, you have bad days. You are not just seeing your friend in like their perfect light. It's a hard thing. It's a very, very hard thing. But I mean, I love that you guys are doing it together. I think it's so important. I really do. It's just like, it's such a hard struggle to be an entrepreneur. It's really good to have someone else there for you. And it's good to have balance and like good to have specialties.
Totally.
Et cetera.
And it's like, there's going to be some things that she, that keeps her up at night. And I'm going to think those are so fine, you know, and it's so funny. And there's things that keep me up at night that, you know, the next morning I call her about and she's like, actually, I'm not worried about that at all. and it's so funny how that works, is you really get an inside view into somebody else's brain. And I think the balancing of each other's anxieties, honestly, and fears about the companies, but also like the balancing of what we're really good at and our strengths has been really, really positive, and I think has contributed to, you know, how much we've been able to grow even in the past, you know, 2 months of us holding our full-time jobs and doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think also I feel like your particular focus is such an interesting challenge for CPG as well, because I feel like being in grocery stores, have you thought about things like, how did you manage pricing? Have you thought about things like, are you going to be qualified for SNAP benefits? Have you thought about things like this? Like, I mean, this is really complicated. How do you think you have kind of like thought about those things? Right?
It is really complicated. Yeah. And I mean, and sometimes Alon and I are like, gosh, we just wish we were like a D2C e-com company, right?
Yeah.
That they didn't have an expiration date and that wasn't refrigerated. And at the same time, we think us being in that position and being in retail, in a way, does create a little bit of a moat. There are less people who are trying to enter this space every 100%. Single day. And we're not just another granola bar, and granola bars are great. Yeah. And also, like, there is something a little bit more here. Yeah, the biggest thing is pricing and definitely margins and working with distributors and all of that. And so that's a whole battle that, you know, we don't have to get into, because a lot of, I mean, it's a logistical, it's political, it's all those
like
things.
Like, milk subsidies are crazy. Totally. Like, I mean, farmer subsidies really fluctuate depending on the year. I mean, I don't know that much about it, but like, I'm certainly not an expert, but I mean, I've read things and like, that's very complicated. I'm also from the Bay Area, so like, I understand, like, I don't know, they're like, and have been to some a lot. Like, I don't know, there's risk with fire and risk with like freaking reinsurance. I mean, there's so much there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how,
Yeah, there is so much there. And the other thing that I'll say is, like, you save yourself a lot of time also, because you can go down any of these rabbit holes. And, you know, we've been down many of these rabbit holes. You save yourself a lot of time talking to other people who have done this. And I think that is the nicest thing. You said, you know, you'd mentioned the consumer space, and there's a lot of female founders. they're also extremely friendly and people are really open. And I think that is something that isn't the case about all founder industries. And I think there's always room actually for another consumer brand, because there's always another slice of the market that you can take.
Totally.
And you can make a successful business out of. And so, you know, we talked to Alex Ice Cream, that is a, you know, A2 ice cream company based in the Bay Area. And he taught us so much about relationships with suppliers and how you go about that and how you work with co-mans and all of those things that we wouldn't have known, and we would have to enter in blind and go down these crazy rabbit holes and enter all these different conversations. And it probably saved us a month's worth of work. And so that's been really, really great.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually was thinking, I was like, ice cream is probably the most similar thing I can think of, because I feel like there are like a lot of small ice cream brands that, mm-hmm. but obviously they're not trying for health. So mm-hmm. that's very different. Mm-hmm. But it is like, I also thought, I mean, would you go into like creating a yogurt store? Like, I know Chobani is a store, right? Like, not to like compare you to them, but like, would you want to do that? Would you want to do like, I have no idea, your own thing? Would you want to create a lifestyle wellness brand?
Like, yeah, totally.
All the things.
I mean, Chobani store is great. no, it's great.
Cute.
But I think looking more in the short term, our goals are definitely to host more events that have a store-like feel. And so you can actually, you know, yes, we're going to be in retail, but can we be in other ways where we are, you know, directly making a sale to you or to you? And we have that interface. And so, yeah, we're thinking about lots of different pop-up events, putting together a calendar for 2025, which I'm super excited about, both for just, you know, selling our yogurt in package, but also think about yogurt bowls, think at these like at-home cafes, think about, there's so many things that you actually can do with yogurt. We're even talking to someone who has a hoagie pop-up and like, can we do a collab there? Yes, exactly, on like maybe a more Mediterranean style hoagie or even a South Asian style hoagie and use yogurt in that sort of way. And so there's so many different, yes, maybe it's not a, you know, Benny storefront, but there's lots of ways that we can achieve that even in the short term that we're really excited about.
There's so many like small grocery stores, like Pop-Up Grocer, Happier, Erewhon
would be great.
That's a dream.
Totally. And Happier and Pop-Up are really, really great at facilitating events and really welcoming founders who are young and new to the space. And so that's something that we're really excited about. Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. I guess, I mean, this is amazing. Literally, I'm so excited to see Benny. Do you think you're Greek yogurt only right now, right? Do you think you're going to expand to other types of yogurt?
We're a Greek style yogurt, so we are straining out the whey. And so you're going to have a thicker type yogurt that most people prefer here. We're definitely going to stay with that.
Okay.
Right now we just have a plain flavor, but we're developing a few more SKUs. And so we're really excited about other flavors right now. And the challenge there is like, we want to maintain our health benefits and not go crazy with the sugar on all of these things too. So,
Totally.
How do you get inspiration from the different flavors?
Oh my gosh, so many ways. That's the most fun thing ever. Like, it's crazy to be in any type of product development, just like jamming on this. I mean, trying a ton of different yogurts, that's a huge part of this, is just understanding what's out there and what people really like. People love vanilla yogurt, so that's something that we're definitely thinking about. And then what do we enjoy? Like, we are our target customers in a lot of ways. And so what is the yogurt that we would pull off the shelf? What both feels quality, but also interesting and also delicious? I think, you know, we're coming at this both from gut health, but also loving food and wanting to make sure this tastes good. And so we're really just thinking about ourselves and what we would love. And then also engaging other people as well to get people's opinions too. Mm-hmm.
Love that. That's awesome.
So excited to see you guys grow.
We're so excited to see
you.
Really excited to obviously see the next launch of many.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on. I'd love to wrap up. Just what advice would you give young women listening who want to start their own business? What do you think you would say?
Oh my God, so many things. Biggest learning for us is done is better than perfect. I think particularly if I'm thinking about female entrepreneurs and women who are interested in being a founder, there is a need and it's not even just a feeling, it's a need to always be perfect and have things really buttoned up. And that's just not going to be the case when you're starting a company and you don't think you'll actually get anywhere if that's always the case. And so with Alon and myself, it's just pushing each other to, you know, post that next thing, reach out to that next person. Things are not buttoned up, and done is better than perfect, and moving the needle forward is most important. The other thing that I think I always try to hold is the power of an extended timeline. And that's sort of the why now. Like, why did I quit my job now versus 2 years from now versus, you know, 2 years from then? Is I actually believe, I mean, I truly believe we're going to be successful in this. And also with a longer time horizon, you really can achieve way more than you think. And so constantly trying to hold that is, yes, we're sprinting towards, you know, the next goal and the next goal. But 5 years from now, I have so much faith that we are going to achieve way more than we ever dreamed that we could achieve in 5 years.
I love that. So well, I'm so excited to see like where Benny goes. Like, super excited to try it. Also,
I'm so excited to have you try it.
And I don't know, use it in whatever my Sensi gear, whatever my stuff that I use. Would love to. And thank you so much for coming on. And where can we find you on social media? Where can we find Benny right now?
Yes. Follow us. You can follow our Benny account at Eat Benny, EATBENY, and follow me at Couch Woman. My last name is Couchman, and so Couch Woman.
It should be Couch Woman.
We love that. Well, yes. Thank you so much for listening. You have always email us, womensplaypod1@gmail.com. Follow us on social media, and also Eat Benny as well. Thanks so much for coming on. And thank you, Kiki.
Thanks, guys.